We back. Welcome to another episode of the highlight, the core cast. My bad. You know, I've been switching things up. You know, as the announcement we put out a few days ago, new core cast podcast will be coming out every Tuesday right now, as opposed to Monday, and the Highline podcast will be coming out on Thursday, as opposed to Wednesday. And by the voice, you can tell it's me, voice of reason, voice of truth. I speak the truth, only the truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm putting them through it this week again, and y'all can't do anything about it. And with
you what this week?
I'm putting the listeners through it. You know, Femi always says, why do you put them through this every week? With me, I have the Blacksky Bayless himself, Femi. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
And then Shannon Sharp Reloaded, second in command of the Blight Witnesses, T Shiesty. Welcome to the number one Matthew Stafford fan. Welcome to...
Thanks for having me.
Wow, it's a lot. This was one of the better weeks of basketball, and I feel like we have a lot to get into. So let's just hop right into it. Give me 1 second. With the Lakers, you know, every week I think to myself, "Hey, okay, this week this team is not getting any airtime from you because you know." Quite frankly, they don't deserve it. Like, all honesty, they don't. But then they come and do something ridiculous, whether it's, you know, LeBron going 1-for-10 in the fourth quarter, AD not being able to take advantage of a lineup without any bigs. And all of a sudden on, I think it was Tuesday last week. Tuesday, they played the Utah Jazz. And they hadn't played in a while, and I wasn't looking forward to it. But then AD goes down in the second quarter with a sprained ankle, which would probably keep him out for 4 to 6 weeks. So if everything goes well, he could still play before the end of the regular season. But the Lakers did storm back from down 14 to win the game against the Utah Jazz. So before we get into AD and what it might mean for the Lakers, what... That game against Utah, was it more about, you know, the Lakers and LeBron being a great player or just Utah starting to Utah becoming the Tottenham Hotspur of the NBA? Like, they just continue doing things like this consistently. So I just want to know, what do you think?
Maybe do you want to start?
No, you go ahead.
I think it's a combination of both. I think... the bright lights were on. It was fresh off a championship won by LA Rams in the city. Everyone was coming off of that energy. Aaron Donald was in the building, dapping up LeBron. The energy is contagious. AD went down. Next man up mentality. Everyone wants to win the game for him for another reason. So I think a combination of those things, like, gave them a new up in their step, gave them, like, this energy. They wanted to win the game.
Then Bron closed the deal.
Then Bron, even though Bron wasn't shooting the best early in the game, you can tell as soon as AD went out, there was this switch, and he started to go at it.
The switch you expect from Russell and AD when Bron is out, flip to LeBron.
Yes, exactly. And why I say it's a combination is because if we faced a Golden State at that time and we're down 14, I don't see us coming back.
Probably
if
down 26.
If we faced the Phoenix Suns, there was no way we're coming back. So I think there is also something you can say about the Utah Jazz and them not. They have this problem of not reaching the final step. Like, they are always on the third.
They will never reach the final step. They will never reach the final step. The Utah Jazz this season. The Utah Jazz this season have a higher chance of winning the championship in 1998 than they do in the next 10 years, and that is facts. Like, I'm like, that pairing of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Go. You know what? I don't even want to go in on him. Femi, what do you think?
It's just the Lakers and LeBron, you know, eventually to beg him over. You know, the Jazz have to explain to me how you're up double digits with like almost 5 minutes left in the game. And you guys get bent over by LeBron. So,
with a defensive three-time defensive player of the year.
And it's still, for me, I'm still like, okay, how do y'all get bent over like that? And you have LeBron lay up, pull up, mid-range, high-fiving everybody, you know, so it was a good,
hugging Aaron Donald and shit in front of you guys.
You know, so like it was like, you know, they still have to explain to me because you call yourself a top seed in the West and you're playing the ninth seed Lakers, although on the road, but you're up double digits with 5 minutes left. That's game right there. In any other team, that's game right there. So
literally any other team in the NBA, literally, yeah. Except the Knicks, any other team in the NBA.
Yeah, but double digits with 5 minutes left, you got to close that out. And they left the door open for LeBron, and bro just walked right through it.
Yeah. I 100% agree with what Femi said. You know, it's a Utah Jazz thing at this point. Because I want you to think about, like, in general, the playoff losses they've had in the past few years, right? Obviously, after beating OKC in 2018, they ran into a better team in the Houston Rockets with James Harden and those boys. And then forget about 2019. They ran into James Harden again, and CP3 just went off in game 6. Mm-hmm. But then you go to 2020 in the bubble. They were up 3-1 on the Denver Nuggets. What happens? Mm-hmm. They throw it away. Last year, they're up 2-0 on the Clippers. Okay, it's cool. Clippers down 2-0. Best team in the history of the NBA. They come back and, you know, equal it. All of a sudden, Kawhi Leonard goes down end of game 4. So they have game 5, 6, and 7. To close out, so they have to win 2 out of the last 3 games without Kawhi Leonard. And game 5, Paul George goes for what, 35-10-7 or 35-12-7, something like that, to give them game 5. They're up 25 in the third quarter, like with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter of game 6. They let the Clippers shoot over 80% from the, like, they only missed like 4 shots in the second half. Let them shoot over 80% from the field in the second half. Terrence Mann going up for his career high 39. Pat Bev hitting threes here and there. Nicholas Batum hitting threes from the corner. And what does it come down to? Scheming around the defensive player of the year. 3-time defensive player of the year. You cannot be a defensive player of the year and the playoff, you know, strategy is designed on you. Like, teams are not scheming their offense around Ben Simmons. They are trying to get away from a Ben Simmons, from a Giannis, from a Bam. But they are literally, the Clippers, their game plan was to attack Rudy Gobert in any way, shape, or form. Either attack him at the rim or use his inability to close out the corner as a weakness. Every single, and it worked in both game 5 and game 6. Look at Terrence Mann dunking on him in both game 5 and game 6. Look at Reggie Jackson finishing over him every single time he went to the rim in game 5 and game 6. So them losing to the Lakers on Tuesday, after being up 14 with 5 minutes to go, I wasn't surprised. If there's one team in the NBA that can do it, it's the Utah Jazz, because they've shown consistently that that's what they're about.
I do want to say that while it's very fun and easy to blame Rudy, the main problem is not their defense. The main problem is their team heavily reliant on the three. For the past couple of years, they are usually the league leaders in
3-pointers,
number of threes taken and probably made as well. So in a game where the three isn't falling, then you get the results you see. They can shoot well first three quarters. You saw the against Clippers, they would usually score.
They had 17 in the first half.
And when they have that drought in any quarter or half, they don't have a second plan. They don't know how to like generate offense anymore.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. I think if they're able to work on finding other ways to score when things aren't.
Yeah, but I think it's Quinn Snyder's philosophy. I think Quinn Snyder is 3-and-D. That's all it's all about.
Yeah,
Yeah, but, you know, kudos to the Lakers for winning that game. But then, on the contrary, you look at them missing AD. Femi, do you think the Lakers have any shot in hell to make a chance to make the playoffs without AD?
To make the playoffs, do they have a chance? Yes, they have LeBron. Because
do you expect them to?
Do I expect them to? Yes, because they have LeBron. Here's the thing. LeBron, I've seen LeBron carry too many teams at too many times, and even at worst times. You know, I don't think this current Lakers team is as worst as the 2018
Cavs. LeBron.
Yeah. Or the 2019 Lakers, you know. So, I don't believe. I still believe in LeBron. You know, here's the thing: if you give LeBron one game, LeBron can give you one game. He can win you a playing game. But you know, and that's where the bus stops, because I feel like without Anthony, they can't go far, because they literally traded their future and their franchise for Anthony, and he's in the hospital right now.
Tyson, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with them. I mean, they can definitely make it. I think they will make it. They're currently sitting in ninth position, and they're two games.
Remember, they have to win two games. If they finish in the ninth or tenth spot, they have to win two games to get into the play-in.
Yeah, to get into the play-in. But I even feel like they can still finish seventh. Because it's Minnesota and Clippers, and both teams can capitulate at any point.
I don't expect Clippers to, though.
Yeah, I mean, you probably don't, but they are shorthanded. So at any point, they could be tired.
But if you get into a playing situation, do you see the Lakers winning Minnesota, who've blown them out like three times this season, or the Clippers?
I've seen them play with urgency, and when they play with urgency, they're different. They're different. Okay. And Minnesota, I cannot put my money on Minnesota.
Yeah, you can't trust Katz 1,000%. I cannot. Except it's a 3-point contest.
The guy won the 3-point contest and started shooting threes in the actual game. I'm breaking everything.
Okay, so before we move on from the Lakers, do you think? Because the Lakers have mortgaged a lot of their future, right? And if it doesn't end up like it did for the Rams, then what is the point? So do you think moving forward, the Lakers should look into the idea of trading Anthony Davis?
I think the idea that people think they've traded their future away and LeBron ruined the franchise is ridiculous.
Not LeBron ruined that. The LeBron ruined the franchise thing is a joke. But they did trade away a lot of their future.
They did trade away. And if you trade away a lot of your future for now, at least you always expect to win the championship, which they already have. They already won a championship. So I don't think it's the worst thing. They already won a championship. Now that the championship has gone, now they want more, which is a whole different subject. But bringing AD was to win a championship. And they've already won that. So
moving forward, let's say LeBron, you know, decides to leave. Obviously, Russell Westbrook no longer the player he once was. A lot of Malik Monk going to leave in the summer. Realistically, you're looking at Austin Reeves and THD as the only one who could potentially be a part of the Lakers long term. So in order to recruit,
they would have to move AD. And they would have to find a way to move Westbrook. Those are their best chances, because they don't really have a lot of trade assets at the moment.
Femi, what do you think?
Trading Anthony, for sure. But like, it would depend on what they will be getting in return. Are they going to be getting picks, or are they going to be getting, you know,
our players
or and stuff like that to go into rebuild mode? Because according to LeBron, if his son gets drafted, he's going to whatever team his son is going to be at. And
yep.
If it's not the Lakers, then LeBron's leaving.
Oh, it's definitely OKC. You don't worry about that. It's definitely OKC.
Yeah, so I don't know what Anthony will be looking forward to do with the Lakers, except like the the aura of like being in LA and stuff like that. I mean, that's the only thing that make him stay. But other than that, I definitely see them trading him for something in return. Sure.
Like, and would you see the future? There was something about when one GM, or no, sorry, an anonymous source came out and said, oh, they could have got, there was a chance Lakers could have dealt AD for Bam. Would you do that?
Oh, yeah, Bam. Yeah, so that I wouldn't do that. I would. Bam is also injury prone. You can't ignore that fact. And they're battling with AD being injury prone right now.
I think Bam will show up more than AD, though. He will show up way more than AD.
See, when it comes to taking that type of risk, I wouldn't take it personally if I was a GM because of the injury effect factor, like I said. And also, AD is battle-tested and he has won.
They're not going to trade AD this season or probably next. But when it comes down to it, obviously, Bronny, I think he's projected to go in 2024, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, you know LeBron will be looking to leave the Lakers if they cannot land Bronny.
So, I personally think if they're trading Bam, they can trade him for, like, a point guard, like a Dame. Because AD doesn't want to play center anyways. Hmm. He wants to be small the entire time. So, they can... LeBron has played a lot of games playing the big man. Hmm. Or they can even play Dwight or get another big man for a cheaper price. But they need like a point guard that can get his own shots and make things easier for everyone.
Yeah, 1,000%. But talking about the Lakers, moving on from the Lakers, you talked about them possibly able to make the playoffs because Femi, you believe with Bron, you give them a shot to win at least one playing game if they get the 6th, 7th, or 8th seed. So the news broke yesterday during the all or just before the All-Star game that CP3 fractured his right thumb and he was going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. And there's only 7 weeks left in the regular season. So he could possibly be talking about game one, game two of the first round.
Or he could even miss the first round because they said he'll be reevaluated.
Reevaluated, yes.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what the Phoenix Suns... Well, the Phoenix Suns without CP3, except now that they have, you know, Mikal Bridges has improved, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder. But the Phoenix Suns without CP3 did not make the playoffs in the bubble. So do you think that is something to look forward to as a Laker fan in the sense that the matchup all of a sudden is no longer as one-sided as it would have been if CP was on the court? And do you think in the absence of CP, Devin Booker can step up and win not just regular season games? Can he close out the one seed and can he win a playoff series without Chris Paul?
Is that a trick question? Well, because like, bro, last time Suns and Lakers faced off, CP was playing with one hand.
True.
Booker was 42-point triple-double.
Hmm. But AD was not playing as well.
AD was true. That's also true. But here's the thing. I'd say the Suns are not gonna lose a step, but it might just be half a step, right? And that would because of CP's CP's impact. But what I'm especially looking forward to is now Booker gets to show you guys what I've been trying to tell you guys for the past 2-3 years. The man can get buckets. And I feel like he's gonna get buckets at a far easier scale than he once was. And the impact will even be better because now they're gonna be winning games.
Yeah, but now I think, just the thought, those close games where you had Book shooting 64% in the clutch, CP shooting 57% in the clutch, I see them losing a number of those close games now.
I don't.
I do, because, you know, CP and Book probably the best backcourt in the NBA. And you know how CP buys them easy free throws, you know, with the rip through, and his knowledge of the game, knowing where to be, knowing where to take... doing where to beat the player into taking a foul and some stuff like that. You're going to lose all that with campaign coming in to replace CP. And even though I know Book is a great player, I just Don't I think if they were going to win 9 out of 10 close games, I see dropping to like 7 or 6.
I would say 7. I think Booker has matured enough. He's been there, done that. I feel.
Yeah.
Now, where like I don't think close games would scare him per se. Like I know he's been playing basketball all his life and he doesn't get scared of close games, but like sometimes there are close games, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I actually believe in him more as of recent than I used to, because I feel like his game has matured enough. Let me tell you, that mid-range is lethal. Mm-hmm. He is closer to the basket. You just have to raise up and just knock it down. And I trust his mid-range on that team. He's like a 1A to CP's 1. To be honest,
so, I feel like that's a huge drop off. Yeah, let's be honest. We saw the Suns win game one against the Clippers without CP, where Book goes for a 40-point triple double. So it's not like he's not been in this situation before. He did win those first two games without CP. It's just, you know, it's a long period of time as opposed to just two games. You know what I'm saying? Like it's 7 to 8 weeks. So you're talking about the possibly losing the one seed. And, you know, who knows what will happen in the playoffs with the Lakers. Stosin, what do you think?
I agree with Femi to an extent. If you remember, like, when they went to the bubble, before CP joined them, they finished the season
undefeated. Yeah.
Undefeated.
They hit that shot against the Clippers.
They could have beat a healthy Golden State. Like, they were so on fire.
Yeah, remember, Book hit that shot against the Clippers.
Yeah, against the Clippers on Kawhi and PG. And their coach has years under his belt since that time. He has finals experience, playoffs experience. So I think they're a different team to 3 years ago before CP. Mm-hmm. But the problem is not Book getting his shots, because Book will be Book regardless.
Yeah.
The problem is the other guys around. Mm-hmm. CP3 is the assist leader.
Campaign is going to have to step up.
Yeah, CP is averaging 10 point something assists. Actually, Campaign's assist is averaging about 4. Granted, he was playing less minutes, but when you watch Campaign's game, Campaign is all about getting his own bucket.
Yep.
So for someone like DeAndre now, it's going to be a little more difficult for him to get all those baskets that he gets.
Lobs and all that. Yeah,
all those lobs, more difficult. Now you'd have to post up. His percentage will go down.
And think about it for Book as well. It's a lot of the playmaking stress falls to him now. The pressure of playmaking is no longer, like, you don't have the point guard on your team anymore.
Yeah. And when it comes to, like you said, the clutch moments, having two clutch players on your team is far easier than when
everyone knows who he's going to. Yep.
Yeah, and CP3 is an excellent free throw shooter, and he knows how to settle the team down when there's pressure. Facts. He knows how to, and that leadership on the court is it can be replaced by anyone on that court. The times when Jay Crowder would lose his head, CP3 is there to calm these guys down. Oh, we don't have to speed up the play right now. Let's let everyone slow down. Things like that, they're going to be missed. And I think what Faye said, where it's not a 2 to 3 game miss, it's very important, because there's more room for error, basically, when it's like 8 weeks. I mean, 7 weeks, I mean. When it's 7 weeks, there's more room for error. So I definitely see them winning out of 10 games. I don't put a number on it, but I would be very interested to see how everyone is able to step up. The coaching is able to step up. Who is going to run the point guard effectively? How players like McGee and Biyombo, how they'll still be able to affect the game off the bench? I'd love to see all those things. So I will be tuning into their games, because I think there will be a drop off. Any team with a CP when he's out, there is going to be a drop off. But I just want to see if they'll finish in the number one seed. And if they do finish in number one seed, I definitely think as a Laker fan, you're happy, because like you said, they didn't have AD when they faced them with an injured CP3 that time. And there is more history to their rivalry now. Yeah. That people are going to come.
You know, when Jay Crowder goes, it's all fun and games until the rabbit has the gun.
Yeah. And they didn't have Westbrook that time. When AD went out, it was just James Harden. I'm sorry. It was just LeBron James.
Yeah.
It was just LeBron James. Now LeBron has someone that he can rely on to an extent. So, yeah, I think as a Lakers fan, there's no one else you would rather see in the first round of the playoffs than a beat down Phoenix Suns.
Definitely, you don't want Golden State.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Yeah, but let's talk about, you know, the game of the weekend, aside the All-Star game, the matchup of, you know, the clash of titans. Two probably best players in the NBA as of right now. It was the Bucks against the Sixers the other day. Sixers ended up leaving with a 3-point victory with a 42 piece from Joel Embiid. I've been trying to say this for so long. Me and Femi are trying to say this for like 3 weeks now. Joel Embiid is the best player in the world. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. To be 7 feet, that man is 300 pounds, man. I don't care what anybody tells me. He's not 280 pounds. He's not 260. He's 300 pounds. To be 7 feet, 300 pounds, and be able to get buckets with your back to the basket. And I see him making one dribble pull. Like, there was a time at the top of the key, he had Serge Ibaka, Drew Holiday, and Giannis, all 7 foot wingspans, contesting his shots. And he goes one dribble pull up and he knocks it down. He was triple teamed virtually all game, still gets it 40 piece with like 14 boards and 5 assists.
Efficiency.
Like, efficient as well. Only he missed like 4 free throws and it was a shocker for everyone. The man was posting up Serge Ibaka and turning it into a step back three. Think about it. At 7 feet, 7'1", 300 pounds, you turn a post up into a step back three and you hit it. But 0 seconds on the shot clock. How do you guard this? He's Thanos with all the Infinity Stones. You can't stop him.
Yeah, no. I was of the opinion I would still take Giannis over him. But I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. I still think Giannis has won the championship and I saw what Giannis did against Phoenix. So I'll still put Giannis above him. But he's a beast. That guy, the way he got his buckets against Milwaukee, I was pleasantly surprised. Like, he just posts up. But I'm starting to think that partnership with James Harden is going to be lethal because he can spot up for the three. He can spot up for mid-range. He has everything in his arsenal. Like, that guy is complete and he's a defensive God as well.
Remember I was telling you, I told you in terms of offensive skills in the NBA, it's Kevin Durant, it's Joel Embiid, and it's everybody else. Because he has no flaws in his game. No flaws.
Like, as a big man doing not just the step back three, but the James Harden step back, which is the double step back, is incredible. And then he added to my adoration for him when he played in the
All-Star game.
The All-Star game, and he had the most quiet MVP shout ever.
If not for Steph, obviously we get into that, but if not for Steph, he should have been MVP.
He scored over 33 points.
Yeah, 36.
I didn't see him miss any shot. This guy was making every three, like, bro. But yeah, he's
Thanos with all the Infinity Stones, bro.
Yeah.
Femi, what about you? What do you have to say?
Well, I'm just.
He's a proud dad.
He's a proud dad. That's what it is.
Nah.
He has been telling the blind witnesses for a while now. We didn't listen.
They didn't listen.
I've been trying to tell you. But listen, here's the thing. His passing is so underrated.
To be able to pass out of double team, triple team every his single time he gets the ball.
So underrated. I don't know what play it was. The man was backing in the All-Star game. The man, anyway, was backing this guy down was so, like, Shaq-like. Like, I felt like he was Shaq.
He was Jared Allen. He was backing Jared Allen down.
And then one, two, and then one full swing to the wing. I'm like, how do you see that?
And the thing about Joel, sorry to cut you short, is like his IQ is so underrated because I'm watching this. I was watching the game against, I think it was Boston or something, even though they got blown out, right? So he's backing down, and immediately he's backing down, he tells Thibault and Korkmaz to switch wings because it's going to be easier for him to wrap his hand around to pass it to the left wing. And Thibault was on the left, so he's telling them, oh, Korkmaz, you switch with him because he's a better shooter, right? So obviously that disorientates the defense. So as they're swapping wings, Korkmaz then runs to the other side and he's wide open, and Joel just wraps it around to him and wide open. Like, I see him dictating the offense from the post, like Hakeem Wood back in his day. And for me, he's the best player in the world. Like, there's not much I can say about Joel Embiid anymore. Like, this is Godzilla numbers. Like, it's not because remember two games before, Giannis had a 50 piece on 21 shots, which is 50 piece 21 shots, 80% from the field is just different. But then Giannis overtook Joel Embiid in the scoring. Everyone was talking about, oh, Giannis is this, Giannis is that. I remember before the game, I told you guys, calm down. Embiid has something for y'all tonight. Embiid showed you guys why I have been saying, and Femi has been saying, he's the best player in the world. He's the MVP. Plus, two tip-offs against Jokic yesterday, he won both of them. So automatically, he's the MVP, my boy. Yeah, but Femi, do you want to carry on Joel?
Yeah, the thing is, it's just like his passing is it sometimes I'm just like, and then his footwork.
Oh my God.
That game against the Bucks, Giannis came on fire late. It was fun to watch because he just showed he made the game fun to watch because they were going back and forth now, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that back and forth, getting that back and forth, the man posted up Drew, Ibaka, Giannis. They switched it back to Bobby, and Drew, Ibaka, Giannis switched it.
As Femi would say, he gave Bobby the Sriracha Teriyaki, and he sauced him up.
It was the Ibaka. The Ibaka one where he's posting him up, and he already moved a big man. Yeah, Ibaka's a big dude.
Ibaka is 7 feet, bro.
You have to understand, Ibaka's a big dude. And the man posted him up to the mid post, but he changed his mind. I said, you know what? I'd like to take you to the 3-point line. But you know what? I'll step back while I'm at it, and I'm going to lace it in front of you. That's face time. That's quality time. He's taking his time.
That's quality time. That's love language.
I'm sure for words, you know.
Yeah, man.
His passing, I don't think people talk about it enough.
Facts. I noticed it last year when he was
the best player in the world to you.
Here's the thing. Both my children are making me proud. I can't pick.
Joel! It's Joel, bro. See, let me tell you something now, yeah? If you're a betting man, just go on Sports Odds, pick Joel Embiid over 30 points every day. He's going to win you
money. No, listen.
He's going to win you money.
I'm a witness. I'll be the first to tell you that Joel Embiid over 30 is a sure bet.
Every day, bro. Every day. And that partnership with Harden looking motivated, I don't know how James Harden does it. I don't know whether he wears a bodysuit, but all of a sudden he looks ripped again.
Wait, I wanted to ask you guys this. I know it was like an argument on the text, but in the game, did you see Tyrese Maxey catch and shoot?
Bro, that guy took over, man. Tyrese Maxey took over in the second quarter.
But that was not off catch and shoot, though.
Yeah, he's not a shooter, though. Tyrese is not a shooter.
His catch and shoot was iffy, and That's exactly my point. This guy is so good controlling the ball. He's damn near unguardable. Mm-hmm. Like, he can shoot the floater. He's like hicky jerky with the ball. Like, you don't know what he's gonna do. Like, I love this.
For me, Tyrese plays like he's playing pickup, man. Like, he's having fun out there.
And he's pushing the pace too.
He's quick, exactly. Like, I don't see how James Harden would limit Tyrese's growth in any way.
Because I saw James Harden play on Houston and I saw James Harden play in Brooklyn. James Harden is not pushing the pace. Now, that's good for Joel. That's good for Joel because Joel doesn't push the pace as well.
Yeah, but in, like, the half court, in the half court, that pushing the pace thing is not going to work as it's not going to be as effective as, you know, it is in regular season for Tyrese. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You're probably right.
Harden and Embiid. I don't think the league, or I don't want to be a defensive coach.
Yeah. That's what I got to say. I don't want to scheme to have to stop them.
Both of them.
Because I don't think they should start Matisse Thybulle. I think Danny Green, even though he's streaky with it, he's real streaky because one night he could go 0 for 5, next night he's going 8 for 14. Like, that's just the kind of shooter he really is.
It depends what you want to do, because I think they should start Thybulle because...
Nah, Thybulle is no sort of threat offensively.
I understand, but you don't need the other guys to shoot. Like, you have James Harden that.
And then Tobias, Tobias is going to be a big piece in this Sixers team. Like, if the Sixers are going to win chip, Tobias Harris is going to have to play his ass off, both on offense and defense.
But I pray that Embiid doesn't get injured. I want everybody free.
Facts, man. So the Eastern Conference in the playoffs? Oh, my God. But before we move on.
I need Zach. I need Lonzo to return.
Yeah. Before we move on, I want to ask you guys, are we becoming a big-centric league again? Because all of a sudden, the problem was Obese couldn't put the ball on the floor. They couldn't shoot the three. Now we're seeing seven-footers like Joel Embiid hitting left-hazy pull-ups, one dribble pull-ups, you know, calling for ISOs at the top of the key. So
you saw the quick matchup in All-Star when this Jokic will bring the ball down the court after Embiid makes his three and go pull up for his three. Mm-hmm, so it was quite fun to see.
So I will be becoming a big league again, or it's just because these bigs aren't normal. And if this is a sign of things to come, then the NBA is in good hands.
See, here's the thing. If you watched, I watched the presentation of the 75. And when they announced Kareem and Kareem walked out and he did the skyhook, it just showed to me like, yo, basketball's come a long way, because from going to the unstoppable move skyhook to that players like Embiid
doing one-legged fadeaways.
Yeah, and the thing is with the bigs these days, they can play either forward or centers. So they're very versatile. Be it imagine Jokic at the four. Imagine Embiid at the four.
Yo, imagine Jokic in Golden State.
Imagine. Or you have Embiid in Golden State. That is unreal. Embiid in Golden State, I don't think the league, but let's not.
No, that's not possible, please.
Let's not go there.
That is more than a super team, bro. That is a quadruple super. I don't even know what to call it, man.
Embiid is two men in one, but let's not talk about that. But you had players like Dirk. You had players like KG, where pick and pop, they can, you know, mid-range, one leg fade away. They could put the ball on the floor like Shaq. You know?
So for me, KG doesn't get enough credit as well.
Say that one more time.
For me, KG doesn't get enough credit.
No. KG doesn't. I actually went back to be like, why was KG?
KG was one of the first true big men who could actually, like, not just for a name, he could actually guard multiple positions.
Right.
You bring a five, he's locking him down. You bring a four, same thing. Probably it will be difficult for him to guard a really good, you know, point guard. But every other position, he can lock them up.
Right. So my point is, I don't think the basketball's always been a big man sport. You know
That's
what I mean?
True. That's
so
true.
I just feel like what we're seeing now is an evolving, I don't know what the word is.
I get what you're saying. Like, yeah.
The big men have just they just evolved right before our very eyes.
Yeah. So what do you think?
I think it depends what the words big man, what we're defining it as. Is it big man in terms of center position or just the height? Because to me, there's a difference. I think the league is filled with a lot of, even the point guards, you can see most of the point guards, they're now starting to be like 6'6" and up.
Melo ball.
LaMelo Ball. A lot of the young point guards coming, they're like 6'6 and up. And everyone is like Mikal Bridges. You see DeJounte Murray, long arms.
Ooh, DeJounte Murray is nice with it, though.
Yeah. So I feel like the league, I mean, with this generation, everybody's relatively taller, first of all. So you'll find more people being around 6'9", 6'8", even playing point guard or small forward or things of that nature. So and I think that's weird.
Positionless basketball.
Yeah, I would say more positionless basketball, because then you'll be able to find more teams playing. Oh, we have the shortest person on our team is 6'8". Or you can play center. This 6'11", you can play.
It's like in Toronto, and small ball, but everyone is 6'9".
Everyone is tall and long, and with that is, it automatically means the big man is more mobile.
Mm.
So that's the type of league I think it is, where everyone is just tall and long and mobile.
One thing is for sure, the skill level in the league right now is at an all-time high. You can't even argue with that. But yeah, I totally agree with you guys. But it was just fun, man, seeing two of the best players in the league go at it. And for me, he set the tone for the playoffs, especially in the East.
I want to see a Giannis and Embiid playoff series.
I do want to see that. And but the fact that...
Before that series, I would like to see Ibaka fully integrated in the team, because I felt Ibaka was more in negative in that.
I feel like Ibaka is just going to fit in seamlessly the way Brook Lopez did. Because he got the three ball, he can play defense, you know, block shots at the rim, can grab boards.
Because you guys have to remember, they lost some key pieces. They lost, what's that light-skinned guy that...
So, the thing is, you see, I want to see a Philly-Milwaukee Game 7 series. Mm-hmm. A full-on, both teams healthy, both coaches healthy, Doc Rivers.
That's funny, because I think the Rivers had an ACL injury.
Sorry. It's sports of habits. So I hope to see both teams healthy. You know, both coaches coaching. I'm very glad that what's his name? Doc Rivers lost the timeout battle against the Bucks, because I did it the game. Milwaukee had three timeouts. We only had one. So, I was happy for that.
While I was watching the game I was on the phone with Humphrey and Israel, because they needed me for something. And I was complaining. I'm like, it's 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. The Bucks have four timeouts. The Sixers have one. What on earth was Doc Rivers doing? Did he give some timeouts for Thanksgiving or what?
No. You have to remember, and I told you guys this would be a factor. Now, I don't know if this is accurate, but this is my guess. Embiid is the only one playing center. Embiid is going to need more breathers than Milwaukee, that they would swap Ibaka for the other person. Fair so enough. He's going to need more breathers, and they need to call timeouts.
That's true. And like I said, man.
I want to James Harden and Embiid, that pick and roll, I wonder, is Giannis blitzing? Or is Giannis dropping? Giannis ain't going to drop. Why are you going to drop on Embiid?
I can't wait to see it. But then, you know, we can't spend all time on this. We have a lot to talk about. So quickly, I want to just, this is a side note, right? And Femi, don't get mad. But let's talk about the Mavs without Porzingis, right? Luka is averaging 41.5 points in the games Kristaps Porzingis hasn't played, like since he was traded. They're 3-1. Their only loss has come against the Clippers. Here's the thing with the Mavs, right? Luka is the offense. Like, there's no offense without Luka. And he's not playing 48 minutes a game. I don't think they can go anywhere in the playoffs with this team. Last week, I talked about how they had, 85 field goal attempts, and Luka shot 33 of them. The last game against the Clippers, let me try to remember what it was. Last game against the Clippers, they lost. Luka had, oh my God, sorry, I lost it because my laptop went off. But, and I've lost it. But the only game Luka didn't play so well was the game against the Pelicans was the game against the Miami Heat. But the game against the Pelicans, they had how many field goal attempts? He had 82 field goal attempts. Luka had 35 of them. That's over 40%. Come playoff time, they're not going to win like that.
You see, that's a narrative I don't want to continue. Now, I feel like obviously they're not built to win a championship. They're built to just have a good run in the playoffs and a good story with the way they're playing. So I am fully aware they can't win the championship, but I want you not to overestimate the importance of Porzingis on that team, because over the past couple of years, Porzingis was always injured.
I understand. I understand.
He was always injured.
But the trade...
And they still had their impact. They still played against Clippers. Porzingis was... Even though he was injured...
But Luka just signed a 200... Luka just signed a $200 million contract extension. He's not going anywhere, right? The problem is... when you have such a valuable trade asset in Kristaps Porzingis... that he could have packaged alongside a Dorian Finney-Smith for probably someone like a Karl Anthony Towns to improve.
You think Minnesota is going to take Porzingis and Finney-Smith for Karl Anthony Towns?
You throw in a couple first. They probably could.
Okay, probably. Because I think...
because remember,
Porzingis lost his trade value. Too. Yeah, Porzingis lost his trade value like a lot.
Oh,
like
come on,
a
bro.
Lot.
I don't think.
Bro, I'm pretty sure they shopped. You know, there's been rumors about them shopping Porzingis for years now.
Let me tell you something. I do not think Porzingis. I don't think the Mavericks would decline a Porzingis, Dorian Finney-Smith, and two first-round picks for Cats. I think that is well worth his worth.
Yeah, no, the NBA is a business and Minnesota is definitely doing that deal. Yes. Yes, they would put... Minnesota would buy the tickets for...
Wait, you guys are saying Porzingis is pulling more jersey sales or more tickets?
That's not the point. The point I'm trying to make is... Yeah, but he probably will, because Porzingis is an international player, remember?
Please... Even the people in Porzingis' country don't care anymore.
Yeah, you can't say that, man. You can't say that.
Here's the thing, though. The NBA is a business, right? So if Minnesota were to be offered that deal, they would do that in a heartbeat because they would even help pack his bags.
Exactly, because now you think about it, they traded Porzingis for Spencer Dinwiddie. You could have treated Porzingis. If you don't think Dorian Finney-Smith is good enough, add Tim Hardaway Jr.
Or trade Porzingis for CJ.
Are you seeing?
I'm not gonna lie to you guys. Those are things that should happen. But what I'm telling you guys is, you guys are. No, looking at you're not remembering.
See,
the fact
I'm not
that
saying Porzingis was.
Like
I'm
two
saying
years.
I'm saying if you want to trade Porzingis, that's fine. But get the best possible player you can to partner with Luka.
That's probably the best they could get. That's
Do you know
I'm
that
saying.
The Mavs have signed Luka to probably his last contract extension if things keep going the way they are right now?
Yes.
And yes, the way I even see Luka. I feel like he might even pull a James Harden.
At what point do you feel like, you know, I'm tired of all this. I actually want to win.
That's what I'm saying. So I say he's going to pull a James Harden 2 years down the line. He's going to say, I don't want to be here no more.
Man, I don't know, man. I don't know. But and then, shout out, Luka. But I think we can all agree they are selling his first round exit and nothing more than that.
I think there's not more than that. You have to remember, like, every time they lost to... a very,
Think about it every time in the playoffs when Luka goes off, he goes off and they lose games. The man literally had a 49-point triple-double and they lost.
Let's think about it. What are the potential teams that I think they could be in the place? I think they could be Memphis.
I don't think so.
I think they can beat Utah. I think they can beat Memphis.
And Femi. We're beating Utah in seven games.
I think they can beat Minnesota. Those are three teams I think they can beat in the playoffs.
First of all, they're not beating Memphis.
They're not beating Golden State. They're not beating Phoenix.
I think you guys will be shocked in the playoffs when it comes to Memphis when everybody plays tight.
Ja Morant
is not dunking all over the place in the playoffs. I'm gonna let you all know that.
Obviously.
My dad reminded you that Ja dropped a 40 piece against the Utah Jazz in last year's playoffs.
Or to get to the play-in tournament. The Mad sends Mr. Monstef Wardell Curry home.
Thank you. Don't sleep. Man, but yeah, shout out Luka, man. He's balling out of his mind. I want to see him continue.
He might balling.
I want to see him jack up 40 shots every game.
The hatred in your voice, he might be balling. Give the man his credit.
What did I say? He might be balling, but he's not up to 10.
He's a baller, right? Just make sure you don't finish that drink. Keep drinking.
All right. let's move on. Let's talk about
what did you say?
Before we get into, the bloody New York Knicks who are a national embarrassment, let's talk about Dame. Okay, you know what? I don't care. Solo camera on me, ESPN. Damian Lillard staying in Portland is him running from the grind. I don't care what anybody tells me. Dame is playing it safe by staying in Portland. Let me paint the scenario to you. When you think of Kevin Garnett, let's say KG retired as a Minnesota Timberwolf, what do you think of him as? Great player, MVP, defensive player of the year. Should have been helped by his organization.
Can I add?
No, let him go off. This is my moment.
Don't take my moment away from me.
No. It's just one statement. We won't even remember Kevin Garnett.
Thank you very much. So now, if Dame was to retire tomorrow, what would you think about him? Mr. Big Shot, so, like his coach, Chauncey
NBA
Billups.
NBA 75.
Doesn't deserve to be there, but we'll go on. Mr. Big Shot, like his coach, Chauncey Billups. But the main thing you think about when you remember Dame is Dame was not helped by his organization. Right? Am I right? So Dame staying in Portland is playing it safe because he does not want to play with the pressure of having to deliver and win a championship for a team. Rather, he's saying, okay, I'm going to stay here. If I win a championship, I'm a god. If I don't, I have the excuse of the front office not being good enough. That's what he's doing. That is exactly what he's doing. When in Dame's career has he ever played with the pressure to deliver a championship to a team? Can you be a great player without doing that? When KG went to Boston, wasn't all the pressure on him and reality to deliver a championship back to Boston alongside Paul Pierce? If Dame went to the Lakers, wouldn't he have the same pressure Russell Westbrook is facing right now? But instead, he's staying in through another rebuild at age 30? What kind of player who wants to win does that? Even the most loyal slaves in the slave master regime, they wouldn't do this. Come on. How can you stay through another rebuild at age 30, bro? And you claim you want to win a chip for Portland. It's never going to happen. Some of their best prospects in their eyes in terms of draft are probably still in high school. And that's who Dame wants to stay around and wait for to win a chip. He's running from the grind by staying in Portland. I'm sorry. He wants to play with zero pressure. That's all I know.
See, me personally, I don't think he's running from the grind because I don't see Dame as someone that is scared of pressure. I see Dame as someone that thrives under pressure.
So why
is
he staying in Portland?
But I think...
I don't think he thrives under pressure as well. The man got set by the AD-led Pelicans when they were clear favorites to win that series. backcourt against backcourt, no KD to make it an unfair advantage. You were up double digits going into the third quarter in how many of those games against the Warriors? And you get swept by Steph Clay and Quinn Cook. Stop, man. Stop. It doesn't thrive on that pressure. Stop it. Stop it. He makes a couple big shots here and there against OKC and in the regular season, but that's it.
Can I add to that 2018 playoff loss? Yeah. Here's the thing. Before the season ended, that season, right? Before the regular season ended, Portland went on a tear. Like, mm-hmm. It was likes of we've never seen before. They went from like the seventh seed to like the third seed. It was like a strong. When they were going into that Pelican series, I personally thought they were sweeping Pelicans. It didn't matter about AD, Ron. It didn't, none of that. You had Dame, you had CJ. I call CJ McBuckets because he's going to get you buckets at any time, anywhere on the floor. He's that good. You have Damian, who's hit big time shots 2014, 2019. He's hit 2021 against the Denver. He's hit big time shots. But Damian, get your. I want to be loyal. If you don't get your 61, I do have a ring. If you don't get your.
I think we get your point.
My point still remains. When someone is, over the past 5 years, when someone is regarded as the most clutch player, statistically as well, the most clutch player in the league, you cannot tag the person as.
Oh, please.
First of all, he went to.
I don't care about your ability to win me games in the regular season. I care about you pressuring. I care about you thriving under the pressure to deliver a championship. Damian Lillard has never played with that pressure. So for him not to want to leave Portland when you're going through another rebuild at age 30, 31, he's running for the grind.
I understand, but let me make my point. The thing is, what was the ceiling of a CJ McCollum and Dame team? What was the ceiling? It wasn't championship. We all know that.
That's why I have nothing to do with the past. But for him to want to stay in Portland through this rebuild,
That's why I'm speculating that it might have to do with some money stuff. Now think about it. When you give so much to when you give so much,
money is not a problem for Damian Lillard.
Wait, listen, though. When you've given so much to the franchise, first of all, if he leaves, no team is giving him the type of extension money that Portland
would
give.
You're tripping. Dame is a top 5 point guard in this league. He gets 200 million.
I know. But even when KD went from Golden State to, or when Ross, where they usually get a few millions off. Like the max extension, they can't sign with a new team.
I agree what you're saying. In Dame's head, he's like, okay, instead of 250 million, I'll get 235. Let me sacrifice my ability to win a championship.
I'm speculating, but you have to think. Championship is not everything to some players. There are a lot of
You agree with me that he's running from the grind.
I don't think he's running. I think he probably takes more important. It's not grind. That's not the point.
Let's agree to disagree.
Let me tell you. If they can guarantee him money, if my scenario is right, if they can guarantee him that type of money elsewhere and he should go for the grind, I don't think Dame is running away from the grind. That's my point.
No, Dame is playing it safe. That's my point.
Has Dame ever given you?
He wants to be like Giannis. He wants to be this. He wants to be that.
Knowing fully well that the odds of him bringing a chip back to Portland
are below zero, below.
Listen, I understand that, but has he ever given you the idea that he runs away from the grind in any situation?
Yes. This gives me the idea he's running away from the grind.
But before this, has he ever given me that idea?
I don't care about before this. I care about right now.
I don't think so.
Here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think he's running from the grind per se.
But playing it safe, yes, definitely, yes.
Definitely.
I think, because here's the question. Why do you get up to hoist up a Lombardi? And if your situation, that's why I never blame Bron for leaving any situation.
Thank you.
If you're not going to surround me with the pieces to get me to my bottom line, I'm leaving.
Thank you. That's all. We can't spend a lot of time on Dame, but I just think he's running from the grind.
Running from the grind is going after someone's character, and I think that's very.
I don't have close up shots. Damian, I don't know your middle name, Lillard. You are running from the grind by staying in Portland. Thank you.
Promo.
Clip that.
Send in the mail.
Clip that.
All right, let's talk about the national embarrassment, in the words of SAS, Stephen A. Smith, the New York Knicks. You know, there's this guy on Twitter, he calls him, his name is Rob Perez. The guy said, the Knicks don't just find ways to lose. They've gone out of their way to invent new ways to lose ball games. Because he wants the Knicks, they are up 15. I think the other day they were up 20 or 14 to OKC.
It was against Boston. It was the game against Boston that blew me away.
And they ended up losing
the game against Nets. They were up 28 against bombs and they lost.
No KD, no Kyrie. Kyrie ain't even in the building.
No Seth, Ben.
Ben Simmons is Ben 10 is on the bench with KD. And you lose that to Cam Thomas and Seth Curry and Endrick.
Ben 10 did not even have his own matrix. And you guys lost two. You guys lost two. I don't understand, bro.
Nah, man. I'm sorry.
Did you get the score in the first quarter?
The Knicks are back to what we know. They are a clown franchise. Worst owner in all of sports. Tibbs hasn't learned his lesson with players like we thought he did in Minnesota. Julius Randle might be the worst superstar in the NBA. RJ Barrett is probably the only good thing about the New York Knicks right now. They traded for Cam Reddish, couldn't get anything done with him. They're just clowns. They make us
laugh. Just like your counterpart, my good sir.
See, he starts from the front office. They got that guy from Boston. What's his name? Walker. Kemba Walker.
Kemba, yeah.
And there is clearly no communication between the front office and
the coaches. They were doing, I'm coming home. Because Kemba's from
New York. But Kemba can't see playing minutes. What direction is the franchise headed in?
Any franchise owned by James Dolan, you expect this. James Dolan is the worst runner in all of sports.
So like they clearly need to identify the direction they want to go in and go for it, because the whole Julius Randle thing, Julius Randle doesn't want to be there anymore.
Julius Randle can't be the fourth best player on a championship team, man. He had one lucky season. That's about it.
I see you're on one today, man.
He's a glorified role player. That's what he is.
Damn, you're calling the guy Jeremy Grant in playing in New York.
Man, don't even do that. Jeremy Grant is way better than Julius Randle. Stop.
You need to relax.
Stop.
Is he last Stevenson? You need to relax.
Like, do you know last Stevenson? Do you think Julius Randle can ever have a moment where he's blown into LeBron's ear? Stop, man. Stop.
I'll leave you to that.
Oh, I know who he is. The guy that does not have a post move to his they can remember, his hands are
Anthony
small.
Kwame Brown. Oh my!
As far as I'm concerned, the city of Los Angeles, you should be happy.
You should celebrate. You should throw a parade.
Let's talk about Debo, man. DeMar DeRozan, before we get into the All-Star weekend. DeMar is the best shooting guard in basketball right now. No other person comes close, in my opinion.
Most clutch player in the league. best shooting guard.
Did you see him in the All-Star game yesterday? He couldn't make a shot at first, but then clutch period, I just saw him fade away high off the ground. Like, okay, I see
you. And you can even tell from the coach, he had 5 points going into the fourth quarter, and he was still part of the starting the lineup in the fourth quarter.
He's Devo, man.
That says a lot.
DeMar is the best two guards in the league. I don't even think.
I think for me, when I started seeing the fadeaway, when I saw him do the one dribble into the half spin to the back down, and then shimmy into the fade, and then the way the shot went in, like, wobbly, what?
Wait, do you know what I was thinking? If Devo actually went to the Lakers instead of Westbrook.
Man, think about this. DeMar, anytime you break a Will Chamberlain record, you know you've done something.
You have done something. Like,
DeMar went 7 games of 35 plus, shooting 50% or more from the field. And he comes in an interview after and he goes, yeah, I was a bit unlucky tonight. I missed 2-3 shots that should have went in. I'm like, bro.
Wait, do you know, I'm actually shocked Embiid has not broken that record. I'm actually shocked Embiid hasn't done that. Shout out to DeMar.
And it's like 35, 40, 46, 48, 37.
You know the best part? Do you know the best part?
Oh, my God.
Do you know the best part?
No threes.
He's barely attempting threes.
The last game, I can't remember who was against. He didn't attempt any threes.
Yeah.
Another lone camera moment. Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, DeMar DeRozan, Chris Middleton. Thank you. Thank you for not letting the art of the mid-range die. Thank you for keeping Devin Booker. Thank you for saving the art of the mid-range.
But it begs the question for me. If DeMar played in the era of Nick Nurse, do you think in that same year they would have had the same run?
No, Kawhi's ability on defense took that team over the top.
Yeah.
True.
Because against Philly, the game 7, Kawhi had 41 or like almost 20-something shots.
But look what DeMar is doing right now.
No, but here's the thing. The game was so close that the game was pretty much one of the defensive end. It was pretty much a lucky
That's exactly what I'm saying. You guys need to remember Nick Nurse is a mastermind defensively.
Oh, of course. Ain't no doubt.
DeMar never really got a chance to play
with
Siakam. He didn't play with Siakam as well.
What are you talking about? He did.
He did.
This guy has
not the same Siakam that
Tosin, Kawhi is
and you have to remember
Kawhi LeBron is the best player of this generation, man. Like, Kawhi made it easier.
I understand, but I'm saying, would DeMar have done the same thing?
It was a LeBron problem for
Toronto. It was a LeBron problem because that year we won the most games.
Game away from winning 60 games. It was 59.
We were 59. So, like, it was for a good reason. Like, our boys were whooping. And, like, DeMar was whooping, but it was just like, when it came down to the nitty-gritty, he couldn't.
It's LeBron, bro. Which takes me to my next thing. I'm sure he was very happy being on this side of a LeBron James game winner.
You know that
you know the way winner. He passed the ball, he passed it with happiness. It was like, yo, go do your thing. The same thing he used to do to me in Toronto.
The All-Star game, I can't lie, this was in danger of being the worst All-Star weekend of all time. I was the Rising Star game was good. I'm like, Scotty Barnes, what are you doing, bro? Make a layup.
When that guy put on that the Timberland and he started hitting the sturdy. Sturdy was a struggle. Sturdy, I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? He was doing so much aggression. I'm like,
bro, watching the Rising Stars clutch. I'm like, Scotty, make a layup, bro. Make a goddamn layup.
I sent you. I'm like, you see, Scotty, you was
make
like,
a goddamn
layup. I'm like, yo, see, this is why we should have gone solved, bro.
Hey, man, stop. Dalen sucks. Stop.
Bro,
stop.
First of all, I hope you guys see what Mobley did.
No, that's versus what. That's the rookie idea.
Thank you.
That's the rookie of the year.
Thank you.
Okay, you won. Fine. You won.
But remember what I said. I think Scottie has a higher ceiling, but Mobley.
Because you know why? He's a forward. Scottie's a forward. So he has a
Scottie's a point forward. Because he was running point guard in college, and he's playing. Yeah. He could play guard 1 through 5. So, but for me, I watched everything that went down on Saturday.
Dude, this is like over years. Why are you backtracking so hard? You're more working.
I watched everything that went down on Saturday. I sat down after and I said to myself, how is it possible that Steph Curry and his wife, their appearance wasn't the worst thing to happen on that Saturday night?
Welcome to the appearance.
What were they doing there?
I didn't watch Saturdays.
So they were doing rom-coms, bro. They came and they were playing, you know, all these games you play at house parties. Oh, who is the weirdest? Who makes the weirdest noises? Drink
like on the Jumbotron.
On stage, bro. It was Steph and Aisha versus 2 Chainz and his wife.
Damn, that was okay.
Hey, yo, since when did my all-star game become that?
I left.
You see, I'm not gonna lie. If I was the one asking the questions, I would have asked. So, Stefan, Aisha, how does it feel to like be in an open relationship where someone else is handling Aisha?
Hey man, Tosin said, man, not me, bro. I washed my hands. Tosin said it, man. No, I'm not here.
Why is another man handling Aisha?
I'm not here. You keep that to yourself. But I didn't say that.
All right. Let's move.
But that dog contest was an atrocity. See, let me tell you something. David Stern is either in heaven or hell right now, cursing Adam Silver for the rubbish that went down on Saturday.
I'm gonna tell you though, if he's in heaven, he's not cursing.
Oh, that he might have found himself in hell the next day because of how boring that dog contest was.
Here's the thing. You gotta put at least marquee names, make them niggas cool. Make them go
or what Stephen A. said, go get these dunk guys outside of the league that go for dunking. Let them come entertain the crowd.
The best thing about Jalen Green was him wearing an NFT. And I don't know what the hell an NFT is. Yeah, I don't even, bro, like what's the difference between me and Jalen Green? I can miss dunks. He can miss dunks.
Bro, when someone said, were these guys actually practicing this?
They weren't, because bro, this dude, what's his name? Cole Anthony was doing hey, put on the teams and missed his first three. I'm like, bro, were you practicing?
First of all, apart from missing these dunks, there was no creativity to the dunks.
Like Obi Toppin threw it off the backboard and threw it in, and he was like, oh, wow, you would not clap for me. I'm the dunk contest winner. This is the one.
Isn't this? He won it last year too, right?
No. Anthony Simons won it last year where he almost kissed the rim.
True. Yeah, see, let me tell you. That's why I appreciate Aaron Gordon so much.
After that dunk contest, I had to watch the 2016 one. I needed to rinse my eyes, man. These guys were doing it on first attempt. Bro, I watched it. I swear to God, Zach LaVine was flying in that dunk contest. I swear on my life, he was flying.
From the free throw line.
You guys are not listening. Listen. Aaron Gordon took a shit 8 feet in the air. He had breakfast, man. He had breakfast.
And the best part was Aaron Gordon came second. That's how good Aaron Gordon was.
You guys remember the mascot was there on a hoverboard.
Aaron Gordon jumped
over the mascot, took it under his legs.
Mm-hmm. In one try.
In one go.
I remember watching that stuff live, and I'm like, wow, I was flipping chairs. I was going crazy.
Tosin, remember this one. Off the baseline, Aaron Gordon.
Oh, yes.
Behind his head.
Oh, yes. I don't know what that's called, a double clutch, because that wasn't the double.
That was some mailman or something. I don't know what it
means. He's like, okay, I was going to do this, but I changed my mind mid-air, and I'm a fam, man.
And then windmill from the free throw line.
I told you, bro. I swear on my life, Zach LaVine was flying that day. Like, he defied the laws of gravity. Like, he could have, he can walk on air, genuinely. I'm not even
literally.
Honestly, I think example, they should just get example. Like they should reduce the height of the ring and get celebrities to dunk at this point because these guys are not entertaining in type of way.
No, the dunk contest has fallen off. The 3-point contest as well. The 3-point contest didn't do anything to me because I watched Steph put on a show last year. It was good to see Kat win, but for me,
I had either Kat or Patty Mills winning as well because High Street to me has always been
he literally becomes High Street.
But he's always like off the dribble for me, and you don't have time to.
No, the thing the about it is people who jump on their release, I don't think they'll do well in 3-point contest because it takes a lot of time. Because you know, Kat doesn't move, like he's stationary. His knees just go up with
him. He's taller.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. What's the name of this guy? The Boston legend. What's his name?
Larry Bird.
No. The 3-point god.
Larry Bird. Come on,
Ray Allen.
Ray Allen jumps. Kyrie jumps. So they're
Craig Hodges was jumping.
I mean, I think he puts them at a disadvantage.
It's all this Steph and Clay that changed it. Because first of all, people used to score 25 and win. Now you have to score like 29.
Bro,
to
I was watching it. I wasn't seeing any 30s. I was like, yeah, this boring, man. This is boring.
Yeah, no.
But the All-Star
especially
game
with the introduction
man.
Of the 4-point ball.
Yeah,
getting like 30.
The All-Star game changed everything for me, man.
Since you guys watched it, did anybody make like 5 in a row?
I didn't watch it.
Luke Kennard.
Okay. Because that's what makes it fun to watch. When you see him make like 5 in a row, 6.
Yo, remember 10. Steph, from when he won it from the corner last year, he made all and they didn't even touch the net.
No.
The last one did not touch the net. Did not touch mess.
When Clay won it as well, he made like how many in a row? Like, when
yeah, but you know, we don't have a lot of time.
Those are real shooters, not just people that are streets in the league. And then
the All Star game itself, Steph put
I
on
wish,
his shoe.
Do you know what I took from the All Star? I mean, there are so many things to take from me, but one person that I slept on is LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo is sick.
Like among the stars, he had a good game.
No, but you look at Steph. You know, I watched the game, and it was boring at first, but then it started to pick up. Then when Steph pump faked, sidestepped, pulled up from the heart from the logo, and turned back while the ball was 10 feet in the air.
Giannis and Ice Tree. The way they looked at Steph when the show went in and he wasn't looking at the hoop, they were like, "Man, is this good?"
Do you know what's so amazing about that shot? He shot that like he was shooting a mirror.
Bro,
yeah.
Femi, the ball was 10 feet in the air and he turned around from half court. Do you understand the audacity?
Bro.
That's how you know. That's how you freaking know, fam.
Nah,
that's
man.
How you know. You
Steph
turn around
on the show. Steph, but for me.
But another thing about Steph is.
I know you're about to talk nonsense.
It's 1,000%.
The record was close and he started breaking. That's what you're about to say, right?
No. That's not even what I'm about to say. The point is, when it was time to win the game, he couldn't buy a basket. And that sounds like a Skibbele statement.
That's my take, bro. I'm Skip here. You're chatting.
Okay. Well, I think we agree on this then.
I agree. Absolutely.
Steph is going to put on his show. That's my point. But the point is, when is money time? And that's shown in Golden State with Clay even taking the money shots this season. Steph cannot find a way to take. He's either passing the ball.
Can I even?
I won't let you because you're about to go full mode.
Wait. I won't do the whole full skip thing. No. For me, it was just it's just personal, right? For me, personal. Last year's All-Star game, when him and Dame were pulling up from everywhere to win the game, they gave the ball to who first? Steph.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled up from half court, bricked it. Second time, they gave the ball to Dame. Dame did not even walk past half court, and he pulled up and he splashed it. So I'm just saying, money on the line.
Keep saying.
And
keep
do you know
because that's what you're going to be doing.
Steph.
Keep
do
saying.
Do you know how many chances they gave Steph this game? Bro, that guy shot like 40
me with
tries
that.
To win
aside
the game. Until they gave the ball to the greatest, to the king.
Aside Steph putting on a show. Aside Steph and Embiid putting on the show, the highlight of the night for me was when they were taking the pictures and one Michael Jeffrey Jordan wasn't there. And at halftime, they're presenting the NBA 75 they saved the GOAT for last. I'm telling you, I went full fangirl.
Let me tell you how it went. They gave the best players in each position. They mentioned them last. So LeBron was last.
Guards came last and they saved the GOAT for last. That's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say.
Thank you. They could have gone guards, forwards, centers, or centers, forwards, guards, just to show that. But
that's not what they were. Fam. When I told you, I went full fangirl when I saw Jordan. I was like, oh my God, my God.
That's not the only time you go fangirl, Sha.
There's just something about Michael Jordan, bro. I don't know what it is, but it's just like I don't know if
you call him. Do you know I call him these days? Mikhail Jordan.
Mikhail.
I don't know if you guys saw the video of him telling Magic.
There's something that
you know, old head. Let's go outside. Let's go play one on one right now. Like he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed, bro.
In his Hall of Fame speech, the man said, "If y'all see me at 50 playing, don't be surprised." Everybody else was laughing.
I
saw him play pick up like I think a month ago now.
Yeah, with Tom Brady or something, I think.
No. These were like random guys in the streets. And he made like a fadeaway shot on someone and it was like, post this on YouTube. It was like, you go post that on YouTube.
And the thing is, when he was talking to Magic, it's like everyone was just around. You know, I saw James Harden in the back. Everyone just wanted a piece of Mike.
Did you see James Harden? James Harden couldn't even fix his hair. He couldn't even get like his brain to be twisted.
Like why are you going after James Harden?
He's a dirty boy. He's a dirty boy.
You have his. What's your history with James Harden? This guy.
No, bro. Then obviously the highlight of the night was when him and Brown embraced. I'm like, okay.
That was the one I was like, all right, cool. I can shake Tosin's hand.
Let me tell you something. I told Faye this just before we started, but I'm gonna pretend that is my take as patrol.
Oh God, you're really going to steal a Nick Wright take? I won't let
Michael Jordan was being gracious to LeBron because he knew that it was the passing of the torch. He knew that he was touching the greatest player to ever play the game. And over the years, he has been, you know, avoiding that, running away from LeBron. But he knew that this is the last period of time that people would shout Michael Jordan. So he wanted to take the moment to appreciate LeBron and be like,
I pity you. Obviously, you have the chance to pick everybody's thing. And you
what
chose
are you looking for in the bottle?
Nick, the bloody right.
What are you looking for in the bottle?
Man.
I'm trying to find where you got that from because it makes absolute no sense.
Let's not forget, man. LeBron is from Cleveland.
When the Christ said it, that was absolute garbage.
LeBron is from Cleveland, and Jordan came out and got more cheers now. See, immediately Jordan came out, right? And I heard the cheers. I said, Skip's about to go off. And next 5 minutes later, he goes, I never thought I'd see the night where LeBron gets upstaged by Michael Jordan in his own house that he
Do you know why I think he got more cheers? I mean, obviously, he's the greatest or whatnot, but I don't think it's simply
you admitted it on camera.
No, I'm a proud dad.
Obviously, arguably, he's the greatest.
Definitely, arguably. Definitely.
He's on the Mount Rushmore. He's on the Mount Rushmore.
He is the Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
The mountain.
Oh no, guys, we need to end. We need to end.
Wait. Let me get to my point. Dang it, I forgot my point. Good, fantastic job, guys. You guys made me forget my point. Great job.
Oh my days, man. Nah, but guys, we've come to the end of another episode of the podcast on Comunicado Oficial Sports Network. Thank you for coming on the show, Toast.
Oh, I remember my voice. I remember my voice. So it's not simply because he's like arguably the greatest, but when they took group photos, he wasn't anywhere to be found. So the anticipation of where is Michael Jordan, and then they eventually saw him, was like a storybook. It was like, oh, he finally came up at the last moment.
Jordan is the greatest, man. Just seeing him.
My man came from Daytona watching his car's race and then took the next flight to whatever.
The man hopped on the Jordan PJ and said, I'm going to be there. See you in 5, Bron. I'm about to upstage you in your own house.
Mm. It was a nice moment.
Yeah, but yeah,
I can't wait for the next, like when they do top 100 and then they get LeBron to come out last because he's the greatest.
I don't know if you guys heard that, but there were crickets all around because nobody agrees with your stupidity.
It's all good, dude. It's all good.
But yeah, thank you for the final time. Thank you for listening to another episode of the podcast on the Comunicado Oficial Sports Network. Thank you for coming on the show, Tosin. Thank you for coming on the show, Femi. Pleasure.
Every time and anytime.
As usual, I've been your voice of reason. You also, I spoke the truth, nothing but the truth today. Like I was spitting facts left, right, and center.
And listeners, I wish you guys can see my face. Honestly. But we're not going to talk about that.
Right, yeah, but thank you once again. Make sure to give us a follow on Instagram. Give us a follow on Twitter. Check us out on all podcast streaming platforms. Leave a rating. Tell a friend to tell their parents, to tell their own parents, to tell their friends to listen to the highlight.
No, you can't finish. They still have more friends. Continue.
They still have ancestors.
Yes, this is ancestors. Thank you. I've been Feyi. They've been Femi and Tosin. See you in the next episode. Have a lovely day. Goodbye.
It's a Slim Time production.